Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Good afternoon, all you Turnbuckle Turmoil fans. This is QQ Books coming at you with another edition of Turnbuckle Turmoil. Sign Guy flew into Hoosier Pro Wrestling in Indiana this past week, and he is en route to Seattle as we speak. In fact, about 4 hours ago, Sign Guy flew into Chicago, and boy, are his arms tired. Thank you, Stevie Jonak, for that joke. Now, tomorrow, Sign Guy is going to be at NWWA Wrestling at the VFW Hall in Southeast, at Southeast Fern Avenue at 7 p.m. in the Portland area. The bell time is around 7, and it's rumored that Dr. Cleaver will be there. Then Sign Guy will be making a beeline to Blue Collar Wrestling Sunday, and I hope to be there also. This will be at the North Portland Eagles, 7611 North Exeter Avenue in Portland. You can bet that the Gresham Savior, Buddy Highway, will be there, along with DeMarcus James, Roy Lovejoy, and my personal nemesis, Pa Moonshine. Today, we'd like to welcome back Missy Sampson. Oh, wait a second. I think I got to click on it. Here we go. Missy, are you with us?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Well, yes, we can hear you. And Missy, we also have Cameron Starr on. I'd like to go into a match that you had with one. Let me see. I think it was this past October 30th when you went up against
Debbie Kane.
Debbie Kane, yes. Now I'd like to ask.
Creative Pro Wrestling.
Yes, that was it. Yes. I'd like to ask you what your entrance music was. Was that 80s rocker Lisa Lisa and the Cult Jam?
It was not, actually. I actually probably would have really liked some. I like Lisa Lisa and the Cult Jam. My entrance music was actually Nelly Furtado's Maneater.
Nice.
And, not my usual ring music, but the joke up there is Creative Pro Wrestling is actually a training school run by Pat Buck and Brian Myers, who was formerly Curt Hawkins in the WWE. And, you know, Debbie was a student up there, and Brian, as a joke, gave her Miley Cyrus for her entrance music. So I had made the joke that I didn't care what Brian picked for me. He could have fun with it if he wanted. And he hit me up a few days before the show, and, you know, I asked him about my ring music. I said, you know, look, I meant what I said. Like, I have a really good sense of humor. Like, you can pick whatever you want, or I normally use Brooke Valentine's Girl Fight. And I got to the show, and that's what he had picked for me, and I loved it.
Wow, okay, all right. Well, Missy, I'd like, when you're talking about entrance music, I'd like to inform you that there's a very good chance that I got tickets to see Black Sabbath at February in the Tacoma Dome. I'm pretty excited about that. Yes.
That's awesome.
They're all nearing 66 years old. Yes.
So maybe they won't be thrashing their heads too much, you know.
Whiplash.
I don't think so.
They probably all got X, so.
Yes. Well, now, Missy, to open up the match, Debbie tried to clothesline you twice as she came off the ropes, but she met you like she was running into a stone wall. My question is, who was the last lady opponent that you put down with a clothesline? Oh, Missy dropped the call. Oh, come on. Oh, well. Now, hey.
No one likes you, Kiki.
drop call. She's probably riding along in an automobile on the Philadelphia Turnpike. Oh, there she goes. Yes, here she goes. Okay, here we go. Back in. All right, Missy,
sorry,
you're back
actually,
on.
I'm on I-95. Yeah. I'm not actually on the Turnpike. But I'm going home from work. And I hit a dead spot. I was like, oh, great.
Technology.
I thought you might have hit a ghostly fog bank. That's what I was guessing.
Yeah, right by the airport.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to dispense with that question. I'm going to let you and Cameron Starr talk for a minute. Yes, or two.
Hi,
or
Cameron.
Hi, Missy. It feels like forever since I've talked to anyone East Coast-wise in the Philly area.
You're a worker, right?
Yeah, I'm a worker.
You and I have met.
Yes, we have. Back in the glory convention days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Way back in the day. Yeah. Yes.
Like up by Buffalo?
Yes. Up in Buffalo.
My memory's not as crappy as I thought it was.
Yes. I know I met her in Buffalo. I've seen her some other places, but yes.
I know her. I don't know who Cameron Starr
is. I know that girl.
Hi, dear. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. You know, can't complain. Still kicking. How about yourself? Kicking?
Doing the same, man. Yeah, still kicking. Still forearming.
So
occasional suplex. Still not too many high spots, but, you know, same old.
If I leave my feet, it's an accident. I must have slipped on something, right?
Exactly. I've seen in 20 years, I've seen the top turnbuckle one time. And it's because I knew some big, huge dude was coming to get me down. It was fine.
Now you sound like me. No heights.
Yeah,
no frills, just technical skills. That's it. I'm out of here.
I'm full of psychology. I'm not full of high spots.
Yes.
See, that's the thing. And you've been around for a long time like I have, and I always feel like I'm some weird old school, but do you find it odd now that some of the wrestling scene has changed from like maybe what we like, where it's psychology and story too? What moves you do, kid? All of them.
Yeah. It's funny. I was having this discussion yesterday with Nevaeh from Ohio, about how, we don't do a whole bunch of flashy high spots. You know, we were trained to use psychology and all that stuff, and it really has changed, and it's difficult to a point. You know, I find it more difficult when I'm trying to call a match with a new girl who can do 50 high spots that I won't take. But, but I'm trying to put together a match that makes sense. And she's like, you know, and she wants to hit, you know, a head scissors, you know, 2 seconds in on the open. And I'm like, no. So there's a little bit of a generational headbutt. And I always try to be accepting. Like, I get it. The business has changed. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm old. I get it.
Me too.
and I hate having to shoot down any move people want to take or give me.
Yeah.
Most
it's just
times,
you
like,
want
shoot
the
down
damn thing to make sense.
Yeah, and not only that, like, the most common move I shoot down is a head scissors. Didn't have head scissors when I was training. I don't trust people that close to my neck. And and you're upside down, and you swing through, and I don't trust myself. Yep. Tell people, look, I've never done that move. I don't feel comfortable, not because.
Happens.
So, but, you know, it's definitely changed, and I try to adapt. You know, my theory is I've probably only got a handful of matches left in me, and I'll do them to the best of my ability.
Yeah, I always say, you know, you got to adapt or die, but you also got to know what's going to look good. You know, it's your job out there, and considering, like, the both of us have been around a while, we have to take care of these young pups so they don't get the stupid stuff that maybe happened to us.
A lot of the girls call me mom or mama. It's my common nickname here. Mia Yim, Jesse K, Kimberly, Marty Bell, they all call me mama.
Aww. That happens to me here, too.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, guys, you do realize I'm really not that much older than you, I would have had to have had you when I was 6.
Sounds like me. I'm like, oh, I'm not that old. Why are you doing that? But, you know, like, I'm trying to understand. It's just endearment. But I'm just like, God.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, fine. You're all my kids.
You're all my kids. So when I yell at you, understand it's out of love.
Oh, exactly. And they know better. They know if I say something, it's because I want them to do better.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I just, is it more frustrating to you when you see somebody new and they're just talking a mile a minute and you're just kind of waiting for them to finish and, you know, and you see their face like you shot their puppy?
Well,
it doesn't matter.
That's
and you're
difficult.
Like,
that's not, look, that's not difficult for me. Because if you just talk to me a mile a minute and either I didn't understand what you said or it makes no sense, I just won't do it anyway, so I don't feel bad. You know, and I will actually take the time to use it as a learning experience to explain to you why what you just said makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
I won't just go, no, you know, I'll say, hey, you know, and I've actually walked some of the greener girls through what they just said, like what they called. I'll say, okay, and I'll walk through it with them and go, now do you see why this makes no sense? And, she, and they're always like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I usually have a teaching experience.
Today, children, we're not trying to tell you no because we're telling you no. We're telling you no because it doesn't make sense, and we're going to tell you why.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, just because we're older does not mean we don't want to work. We want to help you know how
to
work. I want it to make sense, and everyone go home happy.
Yeah, exactly. I want to go home in one piece today, thanks. They're not paying me for a hospital copay. They're not paying enough to meet my medical deductible.
All right. So I like to play the if now, but the person back then. If the worker you are now could have talked to the worker you are, say, you were in the beginning of your career, what would you have to say to her?
Eat better, take better care of my body, train harder. You know, pretty much that. I mean, you know, it was funny. I had this real epiphany conversation with myself about a week ago where, you know, I mean, technically I quote unquote never went anywhere. Meaning I was never signed by a major company. You know, I've been on DVDs, I've been on pay-per-view, you know, like different little things like that. But I never went to a major company. And I know a lot of people, you know, in their eyes, that then means, oh, you didn't make it or, you know, whatever. You know, and that's fine. In my eyes, I did what I set out to do. But
okay, yeah.
The fact that I didn't make it is nobody's fault but my own. Either I was too lazy or too uneducated to realize that, you know, not only did I need to go to train to learn how to do my craft, I also needed to take better care of myself. I did suffer a lot of injuries early in my career that at least half were probably preventable. And being on the road, I didn't always make the best safe eating choices, never been one to really, you know, go to the gym 7 days a week, you know, things like that, you know, I would have told myself. You know, train harder, you know, eat better, keep yourself in better shape.
General stuff with age brings wisdom.
Yeah. Hindsight, always 20/20.
Yeah, and, you know, Dan Marino has a nice after career, and he never won the Super Bowl, so I'm just saying. Anything can happen.
True, very true.
See how I kind of put it in perspective. You know, I always say if you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, is that what I wanted? And if I wanted it, did I work for it? And the answer is no, then you can't blame anyone but yourself, like you said. But if I can look at myself in the mirror and say, you know what, I can live with that choice, then I'm happy.
Right. And, you know, and again, you know, hindsight 20/20. Back then, mm-hmm. did I think I was busting my ass and working for what I wanted? Yeah. Hindsight being what it is, was I really? I could have worked harder.
What year did you start wrestling? Just getting a guess in.
everyone asked me this question, and I'd have to do the math. I want to say it was 94, 95, but I'd have to double check that. And it's funny that I say that. I'm horrible with dates and times. and
I will accept
it. And for the longest time in my head, I was giving people the year I should have graduated high school. And then, like, I actually found, like, the program for my first match, and I was like, dude, I've been giving people the wrong. Wait, I can do it, because I've been in business 20 years, so 95.
20.
See, I'm like, wait, no, I can do it, because it's an even year.
Yes. I started in 2001, so it's a bit of an old guard. So,
here's the funny thing. You know, me and Beth and me and Annie Social were also discussing it. They don't make workers like they used to either. And if anybody that follows me on Instagram will have seen my Woman Crush Wednesday from 2 weeks ago, where I put up a collage of Amy Lee, Mickey Knuckles, Annie Social, and Nevaeh from Ohio, and the mem said they sure don't make them like they used to. Because, you know, that old, I call them old crew, they're not old. But, you know, that crew from back in the day, those are legitimately tough, badass women. Not only do I want to be able to work them in a ring, except for Amy, I'll just take the tag in with her. I would pick them to be on my bar fight team. Like, they are legitimately tough women.
Mm-hmm.
And it irritates me sometimes when I see these girls coming in the business where I'm like, okay, yeah, granted, you could probably work a match, but I don't believe that you could fucking knock over a four-year-old.
I love me some Mama Knuckles, too. Love me, Mickey.
Oh, I love Mickey, and if she ever hears this, she better come back into the business when she's done giving birth to her second child.
I know she wants to. It's just, you know how Mickey is. You can't talk about her because she's coming to knock your teeth in.
I love Mickey.
You do not talk shit about her or her children. She will kill you.
I have had the pleasure of having three singles matches with Mickey, and I did a tag match where she was my tag partner. Those three singles matches are three of my favorite matches I've ever done. And I can wholeheartedly say she carried me.
Aw. We heart Mickey. The Mickey love is a fairy.
I mean, she's one of those people that made me a better worker getting in the ring with her.
Yes. So what I always said is, like, I felt like I couldn't hold anything back when I got in with Mickey. Because, one, if I held back, it would just piss her off. And then,
well,
plus, I would get overshadowed.
You'll appreciate this. So, the first two times I worked her in singles matches were a little bit earlier, not really early on in her career, but she was still, you know, training and doing the IWA Mid-South thing with Ian. And I remember the first match was at the UCW Arena, which I'm actually sitting in the parking lot of right now, ironically. And got there early. Ian was there. I warmed up with her and Ian and was doing duck walks and all this stuff. Like, by the time we got to the back before the show, my thighs were blown out. Like, the muscles were just done. And go out, had this match with Mickey. She's no joke. I'm legit being hit and kicked in the face and other parts of my body. I almost blacked out at one point in the match. That was my fault. I don't want to say that like she did anything wrong. She was quad kicking me, and I got scared and I put my head down too far and took the kick too low. Mickey wins the match. I walk into the back and get towards the back, and I see Ian standing there with a huge ear-to-ear grin on his face, just smiling. And he goes, "That was great." He goes, "How was it?" Or he like asked me, "How do you feel? How was it?" And I go, "My face feels like it just got run over by a train." And Ian goes, "Really? She must like you. She was going light on you." And I was like, "What?" And that was the first match. Second match was at the arena again. She was supposed to work another girl. The girl canceled the day of the show. So they didn't have anyone to work. Mickey doesn't work. Mickey doesn't get paid.
Yep.
So I was at work that afternoon, and I was sick. And I get hit up. I get called. Do you want to come down and work, Mickey? Now, you've already handed me my ass once, and I was well. So, but they explained the situation to me, which was pretty much, if we don't find Mickey in a bonus, she doesn't get paid. She just drove up here for nothing.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll do it. I don't feel good, but I'll do it. So I run home after work, grab my gear bag, hit the arena. I get there. Mickey is as appreciative as can be. She said to me, she goes, look, you know, they told me, you know, that you're sick, you're not feeling good. She's like, I got you, I'll take care of you. I was like, all right, cool, please. I said, if at any point you see me roll out of the ring and dart under the ring, don't follow me. Give me a minute. I'm just going to yak. I'll be back. She starts laughing. She goes, okay. And Mike Keener was my ref, and he helped train me back in the day, so he knew the deal. He's like, we got you, miss. Don't worry about it. And she did. I mean, look, I was still getting hit and this, that, and the other thing, but she took care of me, and I didn't yak.
Yay, that's a win. The thing,
I've never
like,
yacked
people,
in the ring, thank God.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
The thing about Mickey is I tell people, you know, Mickey is a sweetheart. She is the nicest person you will ever meet, unless you piss her off, but she'll let you know.
Yeah, I absolutely love and adore her. The last singles match we had was for PWS Bombshells. She was booked that afternoon at WSU, CZW, whatever.
Yeah.
And the opponent they wanted, I was the PWS Women's Champion. They wanted me to face, something happened, whatever. So they hit me up and they're like, how do you feel about working Mickey? And after the first few times, really being hit, and I was like,
yeah.
Do I want to be beaten like that? No. I was like, but I know Mickey will give me a great match.
Mm-hmm.
I may hate my life afterwards, but I'm going to have a great match. So I was like, I said, yeah. So the promoter hits her up, da da da. Long story short, she rode into Jersey with one person. She had no way to get from South Jersey to North Jersey to our show. I said,
oh, Lord.
I was living in Allentown at the time. And I said, I will drive to South Jersey to pick her up when she's done, drive her to our show, work her, and then drive her back to meet her ride, which is what I ended up doing.
Aww.
And let me tell you, third time's the charm. It was a great match. I finally won one.
Yay!
And I ended up really, really messed up with a lumped up swollen face. But for once, it wasn't from her. somebody did a run-in after our match, and things got a little out of hand. But had I just left the building after my match with Mickey, I'd have been great. I wasn't in any pain. She really took care of me. It was a great match. We could sit here and I could have an entire hour love fest for Mickey Knuckles.
Yes. I think we both could. The first time I actually worked with her, she was just coming back from the leg break. So she's like, okay, so here's the deal. I can't run. I really can't do a whole lot, and it hurts to bump. So we're just going to have to fake it till we make it. Okay.
I love her.
We did. It was funny. I was like, well, you're honest.
The match I got to tag with her, ironically enough, was also at the ECW Arena. But there was an ongoing joke where people would mistake me and Mickey. At the time, I had darker reddish hair. People would mistake us.
Yep.
They used to do a Halloween wrestling show for the kids at the ECW Arena that the arena actually put on. And the guy who runs the arena, Roger, asked me to come down the one year, hang out, guest judge the costume contest. I said, okay, cool. I didn't come down in costume. And Maven Bentley was like the ring announcer. And he actually announced me as Mickey Knuckles. He thought I was Mickey.
That's terrible.
And I go, no, but we'll just tell people that's who I am for Halloween. Oh, but the tag match was so funny. People said we looked alike, so they let us tag together for this one show. And we had two green girls to work. Neither of whom are in the business anymore. One of whom I actually really like. She at least tried. but I remember there was one point during the match where the other girl's giving me heat and it's just being sloppy and she blew a spot and all I hear is Mickey go, "Are you fucking kidding me?" And Mickey teed off. And I was like, oh, I just taken a double down. I'm in the corner like, oh, no. I was like, that poor girl's going to get it.
Basement drop kick in the nose.
No, she actually, I forget, she did something and that girl was on her back on the mat and she picked up the other girl who was not a very small girl and like, power slammed her, like body slammed her on top of the other girl's like face.
Awesome.
It was great. I love Mickey.
Yes. She had some good stories about, like you said Mickey and Amy Lee, and like Mickey told me a story about Amy Lee, where she was like, I was scared to work with her. And, you know, we got in, we were in this tag match and we started training punches. And she was swinging on me and I said, you know what, fuck it. And I swung back, and then she tagged out. So I thought I fucked up. And I came over to her, and I was apologizing, and she looked up at me and said, Mickey, you hit me so hard I came. Thanks,
that's,
Amy.
Yep, that's Amy Lee.
And she's like, I just hugged her.
I tell everybody, the reason Amy was always my tag partner was because I never wanted to have to stand across the ring from her.
Yes.
I did it once.
One time.
Me and Amy had always agreed that we would never wrestle each other. She's one of my best friends on the planet.
Right.
And we had promoters ask us to go one-on-one against each other. And we had always agreed that we would never do it because the way that both of us are, someone was going to get hurt if we did it. One of us was going to get seriously hurt. So we said we'd never do it. There was no amount of money. We had promoters, you know, offering us larger paydays to do it. Nope, we're good. We did it one time for Pro Wrestling Unplugged, which was a Fed in Philly that used to be run by the Backseat Boys, Trent Acid, Johnny Cashmere, because they were our boys. And it was like a hardcore anything-goes street fight. All I can tell you is Amy went to the ring first. I'm walking down the aisle. She comes at me with a chair. 2 seconds later, we're in the crowd. I'm profusely bleeding out of my nose.
Oh,
I'm face down on the floor with my hair around my head, and I know I'm bleeding because I swipe my hand under my face, and I could see it. And I go, Amy, I'm bleeding. We have to get back to the ring because Pennsylvania State Athletic Commission, I can't be bleeding out by the crowd. And she goes, no, you're not. Every time I tell her, Amy, I was hurt, she would think I was, like, exaggerating. So I literally just wiped my face, the back of my hand on my face, and slid it out from under my hair, covered in blood. She goes, oh, my God. So she gets me, and we go back towards the ring. And the funniest part was I got hurt because she went to swing on me, and she put one hand up to turn my head for me, and the meaty part of her hand under her thumb caught my nose and, like, tore stuff in my nose.
Oh,
so I got hurt because she was trying to protect me.
You have my luck. Good deal.
Yep. Oh, yeah. But I always used to tell people that's why she's my tag partner, so I never have to be across the ring from her.
I hear that. I had friends that said, oh, no, I'm tagging with her. Why? Because I don't want her to hit me in the face. I've had enough forearms. Thank you very much. Like, but I hit you because I like you.
She's great, though. I remember we did a match. It was 4-on-4. It was elimination. One of the girls on the other team had blatantly disrespected me, and I had heat with her. And she knew it. When she got to the building, I'm not fake at all. If I have heat with you, you're going to know it. She got to the building, tried to say hello to me. I wouldn't even say hello to her. She tried to talk to me. I said, I have nothing to say to you. Amy heard it, and Amy was like, okay, it's open season on her. We told our other two tag partners what happened, why we were going to do what we were going to do. And we said, look, you don't have to be involved. You're our tag partners. We're letting you know. We then grabbed the three people that she was tagging with and said, here's the deal. It's open season on her. You have two choices. You can get involved and get dropped, or you can keep your notice out of shit that doesn't pertain to you. Your choice.
Mind your business.
And needless to say, before this girl had heat with me, it had already been written by the promoter who had no idea there was heat it was 4-4 elimination. Nobody on my team was being eliminated.
Yeah.
And it was coming down to her on against all four of us. Needless to say, none of her partners said a word, did anything they should have done. And, I mean, we didn't injure the girl. The girl, you know, could have worked 10 minutes after our match, you know. We didn't injure her. But we did enough that she got it. And I give that girl all the credit in the world. Match is over, and I mean, we smacked her around, and at one point I face bumped her. She was wearing tights, and somebody yelled wedgie. She was wearing a thong, and I put my foot on her back, and I grabbed the back of her thong, and I pulled up till it stopped. And the crowd was popping, and I look at Amy, and I look at the crowd, and I continued to rip until it came off in my hand. And one of the boys that was watching looked at me and goes, I don't know if she was bleeding down there before the match, but she is now. but when we got to the back, she walked right up to me. She shook my hand. She looked me in the eye, and she thanked me for the match, and she walked away. And I looked at Amy, and Amy goes, are you good? And I said, because she just handled it that way, I go, heat squashed, we're fine.
Yeah.
I go, she took her receipts for disrespecting me. I go, she shook my hand and thanked me. I said, we're good. Heat's over.
Yep. Somebody takes the ass beating, you kind of have to respect that, like, and say thank you for it. You already know what that's about.
Yep. You earned it. I didn't give you anything more than you earned, and I did it to prove a point, but I did not hurt you.
Yes, just enough to make
sure
understand.
I mean, yeah, she was probably sore, but I, you know, she could have worked 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't stop her from you know, making a living.
Exactly. Just enough to make your point, and that's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, you're like me. You don't handle being disrespected, and you're going to take care of it in the ring. You're not going to stir up stories and make up stuff to talk about people. You're just going to take care of it where you need to take care of it, and that's the end of it. And if
I'm
going to
take
it, you're good.
Yep. I'm going to take care of it where one of my people are.
Yep, exactly, and be done with it. If they can handle it,
yep.
Fine. I always found myself more offended when people say I attempted to put shoot stuff together or to shoot on them all. I was like, listen, if I wanted to shoot on you, I would have. You wouldn't have to say, I think she did. It just, you would have known.
You would have known.
Listen.
It's funny.
No, I thought about it.
Speaking about that.
No, I thought about it. Hate bitches.
I got to look at something. Trying to find a text message that me and Nevaeh had the other day where she told me one girl who I won't name, her theory. Okay. This is a girl who I won't name. This was a conversation me and Nevaeh were having. And she goes, that's her new thing. Working indie means beating the shit out of each other. She actually told me that. So this girl told Nevaeh that working indie means beating the shit out of each other. And I said to Nevaeh, I go, really? I go, because I was trained that there's no art form to me actually hurting you. If I wanted to beat the shit out of you, I don't need a wrestling ring. I can take you to the parking lot and get that done. There's no art form to me actually hurting you. That doesn't make me a professional wrestler. That makes me an asshole.
Yep. It's like, Lord. It's like, look. If I got heat with you, there's a legitimate reason. I'm going to take care of it in the ring and up because I can handle myself. I don't need to do something stupid. I'm going to take
exactly.
care of it how
plus,
I need to.
Plus, you're not worth my reputation
Mm-mm.
being tarnished for me being called unprofessional because of something you did.
Yep. Exactly. It's like, this is you. That's fine. You can be mad, but know that when we're out there, you will be sore, but I am not going to hurt you.
Yep. I'll let you know you were in the ring with me, and I'll let you know I'm not happy with you. But I will...
Yep.
I will injure myself seeing to it that you are not actually injured.
Because if you hurt them, it just validates everything.
Just makes you look like the asshole.
Yeah, then you're the asshole.
Yep.
See? Like, that's the problem with some of the younger folks I see now, like, people just won't take care of it in the ring and be over it. They want to put it on Facebook or text somebody or tell some story. Oh, for the love of God, just punch each other and out there and make it look like a good show. Shit. Be done with it.
I mean, there are girls that, I'll be honest with you, if I catch them on the street, I'm punching them in the face. Like, there's going to be a fight. There's a girl by the name of Candy Cartwright who, if I see her on the street, there's going to be a fist fight.
Probably for the
best. She doesn't come around much.
But there you go.
You know, my fist fight with her is going to be because she bit Nevaeh during a custom shoot. To the point where Nevaeh has a scar of her dental impression on her arm. Like, it was that bad. So I tell Nevaeh, if I ever catch her, I'm going to knock every tooth out of her mouth that Nevaeh's got a mark on her arm for.
Lord, that's unnecessary to leave marks. No, no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know that sometimes shit happens, but not fighting someone.
No, this girl was, they were doing customs, and this girl was just being, like, dangerous and reckless with some of the other girls. And, like, she dumped, like, Leah Von Dutch on her head, like, just being, like, blatantly sloppy and dangerous.
God.
And Nevaeh had a custom with her, and I don't know if it was she was hitting Nevaeh too hard in unsafe spots or whatever, but Nevaeh grabbed her in a wrist hold and said, look, like, calm down. Like, we can have a match, or this is going to go really bad for you. Like, calm down. And Nevaeh went back to working, and stuff didn't calm down. And Nevaeh said to her, like, I told you, chill out. And the girl didn't listen. And Nevaeh snap-mared her or something, put her in a rear naked choke of sorts, cinched it in a little bit, and was like, you know, I told you needed to chill out, whatever. The girl got scared and literally just sunk her top and bottom jaw into Nevaeh's arm.
That's crazy. That's just nuts. Like, you only get put in something tighter than you need to be if you're being stupid.
Yep. And it's get you to calm the hell down.
Calm down. Not trying to hurt you. You struggle, you will get hurt.
I tell people,
people
all the time when it comes to that stuff, like, I can get a ring with you, I can have a wrestling match, I can have a fist fight with you. I'm ready, willing, and able to do either. I can handle myself on both accords. So you can pick which one you want to have tonight, because I'll go either.
I'm like, that's the thing. I think that generational gap we're talking about, like, there are girls that could, you know, like you and me. I can have a wrestling match with you. I can fight. But I don't know if there's a lot of girls necessarily out there that could be both today.
No, you're right. And that's what I was getting at earlier. Like, I'm really worried when I see some of these girls where I'm like, I'm not sure you can handle yourself in the ring if stuff goes south.
Yeah, if somebody decides, fuck this kid today, you might be in trouble.
Yeah.
Makes you a little nervous.
Know, you know, yeah, they know how to wrestle. They know how to have a match. I don't know if they know how to protect themselves.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say how many times, you know, early on in my career I would get an injury or something stupid because somebody took offense to me breathing their air or just wasn't trained properly and I couldn't take care of myself or know how to tell them they're wrong in a professional way. I just think it's okay. That you broke my hand, it's fine. You know, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Not that guy.
Not
know?
Okay.
Yeah, it. And some people are still assholes and they don't think they need to take care of them. They just want to put it on you, and the second, you know, you try to work with them, they're like, no, get fucked up.
A lot
working
of people
a match is great.
These days are missing the. You know, I can get in the ring, and I can make you look like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
I can make us have a great match, or I can get in the ring and make you look like shit.
Mm-hmm.
While not doing any damage to myself. So.
Yep. Yeah, it sounds like me too. It's like, listen, you help me, I help you. We keep each other safe. We finally work together. Everybody looks good. You start to act a fool, you're going to look real dumb, and I'm still going to be fine.
Yep. Not to mention, man, girls talk. Girls in this business talk. So if you're a sloppy worker, you're dangerous in the ring, we're going to tell each other.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a bad attitude in the locker room, we talk. People are going to know. You know, and watch out
everything.
Who you piss off. Yeah, watch out who you piss off, because a lot of the older girls in this business, their word carries a lot of weight. So, you know, watch who
you
step
on. Be nice to everyone.
Yeah.
Ears open, mouth shut. Say thank you.
Exactly. God, I wish they taught that more.
Yes. Like, it's okay. And what we were always taught about it is like, look, everyone's going to have a different point of view. Even if you think it is the biggest load of shit you've ever heard in your life, you keep your mouth shut, you nod, you acknowledge their comment, and you can either take what they have to say or you can leave it, but that is none of their business. You don't need to get mouthy. Just say thank you. And
exactly.
Let it go.
Exactly.
And you never know, even somebody that you think is the biggest idiot on the planet or you don't personally like them, hey, you know, I watched your match, I noticed this, and it might be like that one little thing. Oh, shit, I didn't even know I did that. Thank you. But you know what I mean?
Take
like,
advice for everyone.
You never know.
I had a dude that I know who got in, like, a Twitter battle with Tom Pritchard, Dr. Tom Pritchard.
Oh, Lord.
And I had read it, I saw it, I didn't say anything, but then the kid hit me up. Because I think he realized what a bad move he had made. And he goes, how do I fix this? And I said, for starters, you need to accept that Dr. Tom Pritchard is Dr. Tom Pritchard. And whether you agree with what he said about you or not, if he said it, it's true. In this business, if he said it, it's true. You don't have to like what he said about you, but you have to respect the fact that he said it. I said, and at this point, I said, the only option you have is to hit him up, apologize profusely, and ask if, you know, you could give him a call, he could give you a call, you could have 10 minutes of your time to at least just hear each other out in a civilized manner and squash the heat, but show him respect. I said, you know, people like Dr. Tom Pritchard, you know, I was trained old school. You didn't have to agree with what the vet said, but you didn't open your mouth about it.
Mm-hmm. That's what the car ride home's for.
I mean, vent to your buddy, like, oh, my God, I can't believe he said that. But you don't, especially in a public forum.
I said,
it's Dr. Tom Pritchard. He's been around long enough, and he's got enough respect in this business. If he said you're a piece of shit to this business, you're a piece of shit.
Yep.
I said, at this point, having a Twitter war with him is only dragging that argument out.
Just makes you look silly.
Yeah.
You just look childish. Stop it. And people that have been around a while, also, like, if there's something being said about somebody, generally, like, I don't know if you're the same way I am, but if I hear something about someone, but it's not very credible sources, I like to see it for myself, and then I can figure it out. So I think the older you are, the more you can suss out what's the truth and what's bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I judge pretty much everybody not off what other people say. You know, I make sure I meet them and I form my own opinion. If one of my close friends says something about you, I'm going in with a negative opinion of you to make my own opinion.
It's like this girl that I had worked with off and on, like, I'd heard awful, awful things about her. And I was like, man, I don't know. Like, you know, I need to figure it out. And some of it was true, but then I understood kind of where it got blown out of proportion. And I told her what people were saying, and I'm like, so I challenge you to change this public opinion by stop answering every argument you're invited to.
Yeah.
She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, all you ever do is argue with people when they say such and such about you. Fuck that. Let them talk. Guess what? You don't provide them the bullet to put in that gun. They can't really do much but fire air at you. Just let it go.
Yep.
And unfuck what you need, unfuck.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine recently that was, like, having an issue with somebody saying something about her. And I said to her, I said, you say nothing. I said, don't address it. Don't bring attention to it. Don't respond to it. I go, it's only making them look like an asshole. I said, you're only giving it credibility when you respond to it. I said, you say nothing.
Generation butthurt. But no, let it go. I would say, you know, people are like, well, what do you say when people say, you know, well, you're sloppy or you intentionally tried to hurt so-and-so? And I'm like, listen, I hear that shit all the time. I never say a word to it. This is all I say on the subject. I must be pretty damn threatening to be a topic of their conversation, that they stopped in the middle of their busy day to think about little old me. And I didn't give one second for them. So, go me. I'm awesome. And all you can do is just go, really? I learn new shit about me every day.
One of the best pieces of advice I ever got from Trent Acid, God rest his beautiful soul, I was upset about something somebody was saying about me. And he looked at me and he said, why are you letting it get to you? And why would you respond to it? When you do that, you put them on your level where they don't fucking belong.
Mm-hmm. Ah, Epiphany. Well, you know, that's the heavens open up and you went, oh, that's phenomenal. Damn it. Where was I?
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think, too, there's something about the longer you're around wrestling, you kind of see things change. And I know, like, I've seen it. I mean, when you talk about things like, you see stuff like that Sasha and Bayley have done on television. I'm like, WSU and Shimmer and Shine have been doing that before those bitches are on television. Damn it.
Yeah, but true. But
but it's so great to see it at the forefront, right? Like, yes, this is what we do.
Yep. They're the ones bringing what being an actual female wrestler is about to mainstream America. As opposed
like it's
to
about
before
time.
when it was Divas matches. You know, they're now standing, you know, I hate when, case in point, October 30th when I wrestled Debbie Kane, maybe about a minute into my match, somebody from the crowd yells, wrestle like a girl. And I stopped and I looked because a guy who said it and I go, what does that even mean? I'm like, what does that mean? From having the quote-unquote Divas matches, promoted on national television and pay-per-views is this is women's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. And the fact that, you know, Vince, Hunter, the WWE are now accepting and putting matches like that on TV and saying, you know, this is women's
wrestling.
Well, thank you.
Thank the Lord, right? Like,
thank
yes,
you for giving
I've been
a more accurate display of what it is that I do.
It's like, thank you, Jesus. It's like, you know, and I'm sure being from the Philly area, how many times did probably you ever hear the words cat fight, which always makes the skin crawl.
And even those had their place, and those were done by girls who were not claiming to be female wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my best friends is Francine, the Queen of Extreme, and God knows she's infamous for her catfight. But even she will tell you she never proclaimed herself to be a female wrestler.
Yeah, that's what I always liked about her. She never said she was a wrestler, and that's fine.
And the funny part is, when it comes to her, you know, a lot of the valets or managers or whatever back then, you know, who wanted to be portrayed as quote-unquote female wrestlers or whatever, were never trained to be wrestlers. Francine actually trained at the ECW Philly school run by J.T. Smith. She actually trained. So if anybody probably could have said, you know, I trained, technically I could be a female wrestler, it would be her, but she never said that.
It's like, you know, I was more thrilled to never see a bra and panties match ever again, or that I could watch Sasha and Bayley wrestle for hours. I'm like, oh,
yep.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Brings tears to my eyes. I was like, thank you. Or even, like, I remember, like, Paige and Emma for the NXT title was really great. I was like, that was a match, kids.
Yep.
That was some work.
Natty versus Charlotte. That was
Natty versus Charlotte was phenomenal. Like, the emotion in that match, you can't fake that. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, you can work a lot of things. You can't work how you feel. Not 100% of the time. I can look pissed, but if I'm emotional enough to cry, it's coming out.
And you can't work how you make other people feel watching you work.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh. I'm just, I guess for me, it was always like, you know, every little boy watches wrestling and blah, 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 blah. But what about the little girls that are stuck with little brother watching Raw or whatever, having to see these girls in little, you know, bikini shorts and rolling around instead of being these strong fighters and warriors. And now that they can sit there and watch and see these girls that are legitimate, it's like, thank you. Finally. It's like, I waited so long. I'm sure it's like, you know, for me, I'm like, if I had to quit tomorrow for whatever reason physically, I think I would feel better knowing that the business has started to shift the other way.
Right.
If we can get them all to be smart like that. It's work, kids. It's not just pretty. Oh. I don't know. My husband calls it the Bitter Broad Brigade.
Bitter Broad Brigade.
I was like, that's okay. I was like, we're just old. He's like, y'all sound like old divorcees that are like these fucking kids today that don't know what the hell is going on. Like, no, man. We just have seen the business shift. From girls rolling around.
From the way it was when we started.
To girls main eventing a pay-per-view and doing an Iron Man. Which,
yep.
outside of like Japan and the Indies, was not done on television. That would not happen.
Yep.
We remember, I'm sure you probably remember Twitter posts and Facebook posts that goes, well, girls' match is on, time to take a shit.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah. Well, girls are on, because I'm going to go poop.
Bathroom break.
Now it's, fuck that, I'm sitting right here. I'm watching all of this.
Yeah, now you take a bathroom break during the guys' matches.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, this is true. Like, cool, dudes are on, I can go poop now.
Yep.
It makes my black little heart beat with joy. Like, that's the thing that I always said, you know, as I got older, I just wanted, when I got in the ring with someone, to teach them something new and to make sure that they can work just as long or longer than me.
Yep.
That's all I ever wanted. I mean, you know, you've worked a long time, too, so do you feel like you don't want what's in your head to go away? You want somebody else to have some of that?
Yeah, I do. I do want to pass it along. But I want to pass it along to people I know will appreciate it and will use it.
Yes. Like, that's the thing. You know, I would say, you know, you can't always lace the boots up forever. But if a piece of you is like, hey, I worked with that girl, it was like her first or second match, she was fucking terrible, but look at her, how good.
I have that now with Cherry Bomb. I worked a tag match with her in Canada. It was one of her first 5 matches. And she wasn't horrible. She was just really green.
Yep,
and,
green.
And I've seen her here and there throughout the years, but I'd never really watched any of her stuff. Until maybe 6-8 months ago, somebody gave me a copy of a WSU show that she wrestled Leva Bates on. And I was watching the DVD, and the first half of the DVD was pretty damn unwatchable. If I wasn't watching it as a favor to someone, I would have turned it off. And I went to bed, and I was texting my buddy Blake, who's a photographer, and I said, oh, my God, this is horrible. And then, bang, Leva comes on, Cherry comes on, they cut promos, they have this match. I jumped out of my bed. And yeah. I've made sure to watch more Cherry Bomb stuff since then, and I've told her. I said, girl, whatever it is in this business, you're oozing it.
Yeah.
I said, you have whatever it is. I said, and from where you were when I worked you, I go to where you are now, all the hard work you put in shows.
I had one of those moments with Crazy Mary Dobson. I worked her like one of the very beginning. And good old Pondo said, now you just tell her how it goes. Be honest. Okay, man, I will. And she was greener than goose shit. It was not good. And I made sure to tell her what she needed to work on. I'm like, the mean thing would be to say everything and walk off. You're just green. And then I got called back to work with her after she'd come back from Japan. She came up, said hi to me. She goes, I want you to know that I've worked very hard and trained a lot. I've gotten so much better, I promise.
I appreciate that stuff. Like, I went to the ECWA Women's Super 8 tournament.
Yeah.
A month and a half ago, because it wasn't far from my house. Some of my friends were in, I haven't seen in a while, so I went just to say hello and hang out. I was going to leave before the show even started. And I met a young girl there whose name is, I think Vionette Miranda. She trains at the Monster Factory. And clicked with her. There were a couple other girls there, and her match was first. And then the second match was Brittany Blake, who is a CZW female student, against Tara Calloway from California. And I was saying goodbye to everybody. I was going to leave before the show. And I just met this girl, and she grabbed me, and she said, oh, my God, you're leaving? And I said, well, yeah. She goes, can you please stay? My match is first. I was really hoping you would watch it and give me some feedback. And because of the way she asked me, I go, I can do that. And then
Blake
and Tara Calloway were the second match, and they said the same thing to me, like, oh, we were hoping you would watch our match and, you know, give us some feedback. So I said, fine, I'll stay for the first and second match. And I ended up staying for all the girls' first-round matches, and I left at intermission.
Well, Missy, Cameron, we're about out of time. Missy, could you do me a favor? And based on what I saw between you and Debbie Kane, your match, can you look up the YouTube video, The Crocodile Hunter, Steve and the Dragon? You remind me of the Komodo dragon that chased Steve Irwin up a tree.
Okay.
Yes, if you could do that. I think that's the epitome of your match. You zeroed in on Debbie's leg. Yes.
Yes, I did.
Atta girl.
And it worked.
Yay!
Well,
it worked.
Well,
I won.
Hey, Cameron and Missy, thanks for coming on. Yes. Do you have anything to pass on to Sign Guy when I see him Sunday?
Yay. I'm so glad I showed up. Me and Missy's old friends.
Yeah, this was a pleasant surprise. Obviously, he didn't tell me that you were going to be on with me, but this was a great surprise, and it was great getting to talk to you again, Cam.
It was good to talk to you. Old broads unite.
That's right. Ooh. Old bitter broads.
Old bitter broads. Coming to a town near you.
All right, you guys take care and have a great night. Thanks again for having me.
Oh, thank you, Missy.
Thank you.
You take care of yourself.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye, Missy.
Bye. Well, thank you, Cameron.
Well, you are welcome, sir. Spine Guy now owes me. I'm not sure what, but he owes me.
Okay, and you can also watch Steve and the Dragon, Steve Irwin and the Komodo
Dragon
video. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe you and Shine Guy should reenact that for Sign of the Times or something.
Yes, we should. Yes.
Put it on the list.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Cameron. Have a good weekend.
You too, QT. Bye-bye.
Bye.